Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Two reasons that I love Vision Sunday, and here's why. This generation has completely lost what it means to have vision. It has. A vision for your life, to be driven by a vision, and by Christian Ministries Church having one, it teaches a generation about vision that doesn't know about it. Doesn't know about it. The Bible says very clearly in Proverbs 29:18 that you perish without a vision. You perish without a vision. And I just felt like today, Vision Sunday, I haven't done this in several years, but I felt it's really important that we talk just a little bit about vision. We got to talk just a little bit about vision because people say, let me say it like this. If you were to ask somebody, do you have a vision? What would be your general response? Well, what do you mean? Well, for a specific area of life, do you have a vision? Well, sure. Every area of life, you have a vision. Well, you know, when you start thinking about it, you start realizing, you know what? Maybe I don't. It's amazing the amount of couples that I counsel that are having marital difficulties. That I talk to, frequently that are dealing with marriage. What I have found all the time is they've lost a vision for their marriage. People that are having financial difficulties, they don't just jump in and ready to file bankruptcy. They live so long, and then they realize, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, and then they either have to file bankruptcy or have to go get some help. Well, what's the help? The help is vision for their finances. There never is a teenager that graduates from high school that goes off the deep end and messes all up that a parent don't look back and go, what could I have done different? So you got to have a vision for parenting. And in all of life, there has to be a vision. There's nothing more important in your Christian walk than making Jesus Lord. But what's the next step? Getting a vision for Christianity. And that is where the church has failed. We get people saved. We introduce them to Jesus and say, hey, heaven's a great place. And that's the only vision we get them. We give them this vision of, hey, you don't want to go to hell. Well, you're right. Well, how do I not go to hell? We get saved. All right, now I'm not going to hell. It's going to be a good life. And then all they have to look forward to is heaven? There's a lot that Christian people can accomplish right here if they'll get a vision for it. Vision drives your life. It gets you out of bed in the morning when you'd rather sleep in. It gives you purpose. It gives you direction. Vision makes the Bible come alive. When the Bible says all things work together for good for those that love God and are called. See, if you love God and have a call on your life, then all things work together towards a vision. Towards a vision. And we don't understand this, but you know, there's not a day that goes by that I nor you don't have a reason to call in and say, I'm not coming to work today. Come on, but there's just not. There's always something. Car broke down. Nice day to sleep in. Not feeling the greatest. Always something else that you could do to make priority. Your friend calls and needs help. Something. But with a vision, my car's going to have to wait. I have work to do. See, with a vision, I'll just have to ride with somebody else and get the car fixed tonight. With a vision, I got to get out of bed and sleep will just have to come later. I'm going to work whether I feel good or not. I have my priorities correct, and I know what's next to work on, and I'm living on a vision. See, without a vision, I don't know if I'll be there or not, but with a vision, you can count on I'll be there. I'll be there when you're living by a vision. I can't wait to get out of bed in the morning. I know I'm going somewhere. This morning, getting out of bed, I didn't even push snooze. I'm going somewhere. There ain't no need to lay here a second longer. I have vision. I'm getting out of bed. I'm moving forward toward the vision that is motivating me for life. This generation has no vision. So any excuse that they can come up with works. And church, understand this. Parents, hear me today. There's always an excuse and always a reason not to go. There always is. It's easy to see why the Bible says without a vision you die. Come on, if you're not going anywhere, if you're not doing anything, if you're not burning with the desire to produce and bring vision into reality, when you're confronted with sin, why not? When you're confronted with stay home, there's always something to work on at home. There's always something that needs done. Why not? Why not? I don't have a vision. I don't have a vision for that. So when you don't have a vision, why not just do something different? Think about that for a second. If you're not consumed with living for Christ, then it's real easy to get your eyes on something other than Him. Let me say that again, because about three people go, yep. When you're not consumed with living for Christ, then it's easy to get your eyes on something other than Him. There's something other that can consume you, some other things. When there's no vision, why not take half a bottle of pills that you don't even know what they are or care what they're going to do to you? Why not? See, when you don't have a vision, why not sleep with whoever's available this weekend? Why not? When you don't have a vision, why study hard to educate yourself? Come on, hear me. Without a vision, why study? Why do anything to educate yourself? When you don't have a vision, why not drink it up? I don't care who it affects. I don't have a vision for them. I don't have a vision for me. I don't have a vision for it. Why not? Why not play video games for hours on end? Come on, why not? Why not? I don't have a vision for anything else. Why not drop out of school? I don't have a vision for anything. Why not just get any job that comes available? Regardless of upward mobility in that job and whether they can get advances or head anywhere. Well, who can, why not? I don't have a vision for anything. In fact, why even get a job? We live in a day and time the government will take care of you. Why not? Are you seeing we got a lot of people in this world that don't have vision? This church is going to preach vision. We're going to talk about it day in and day out, because you perish or you die without a vision. Parents, your job is not just to clothe and to feed or keep your little one from getting hit by a car. Your job is to instill vision in that young child. Your job is to instill vision for life in every area of their life. Talk daily about what they want to be. What do you think, young person, what do you think God has gifted in you? What do you think that you have that will benefit this world in a very profound and unique way? You know, Pastor, that sounds good, but come on, at 5 and 6, can they really get that? No, they're not going to get all those answers. They're not, but they're going to start thinking about them. They're going to start pondering them, and you start instilling the importance of those questions. You know, by 12 or 13, they begin to develop the general idea that I got to start thinking about where I'm headed. See, at 12 or 13, they start seeing if they're good with their hands and good at hard work, and they start seeing at 12 or 13 what they could do and what they could do to make a little bit of money here. Maybe one day, maybe they start seeing a vision for being a doctor or a nurse. They just all the trying to help people that are sick or not feeling well. Maybe they have a desire for food business. Boy, in the kitchen all the time, cooking and messing everything up, but you start seeing that gifting. They want to serve people. Maybe a teacher or trainer. They're always telling their younger brother or sister what to do and how to do it. You start seeing that in them, but they start thinking about it. You know what? I'm pretty good in this area. Pretty good with young kids. I'm pretty good with this. And you start talking to them and shaping their minds to think about life and a vision for life. Vision, church, is mandatory for the abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus came with a vision. And that vision was that you could have life and life more abundant. You could have life and life more abundant. So parents, we've got to teach a need for a vision. We need to have a vision burning in our hearts. You know, I would enjoy going and getting drunk. I would. Smoking that. Hanging out weekend, doing things that I shouldn't do in the weekend. Maybe having a little fling. Not worrying about showing up for work or how much I miss. No one knows if I chew this, smoke this, drink this. But know this, a vision will keep you from dying. And if you don't have a vision in every area, the area that you're lacking it in is the area that's headed towards death. a vision will keep you from perishing. It causes you to rise above the feel-good temptation of the moment. Come on, there's a feel-good about the alarm going off and you shutting it off and me not having to do anything. There's a feel-good about that. And a lot of people, that's as far as their vision goes. Parents, it's hard to get that vision into your kids. Get up. Get up. Well, know this. As long as you're instilling it from your set of vision, then they ain't ever going to get up the way you're wanting them to, because you're wanting them to do it out of obedience to you, and then you're wanting to transfer that obedience over to God. I get that, but if you can get a vision in them for the things of God, then they'll get up because they have a desire to get up. That's where we've messing this thing up. You got to get vision into them. Every person, every company, every organization has got to have a vision. Now, let me just say this morning, I believe every church should have one too. Every church. Without a vision, here's where the church is. Sunday a.m., they have church. Midweek Bible, they may have a service. Dead, cold, going nowhere. The church is the same today as it was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Without a vision, children's ministry supplies babysitting, plays a few games, while adults are in big church. And then when it's over, they just go home. Youth ministries plan events. They have some hay rides and trips to the park and movies, but nothing really different about the way they walked in and the way they left. And we wonder why at age 17, kids are leaving church by the droves. We wonder why the national... See, this church has a kids' church that last Wednesday night had over 40 people in it. Kids and trainers and people down there working hard. And our kids are going home and they're talking to their parents and going, oh, here's what I was told this week. Here's what Rachel imparted to me. Here's what Michelle and Joey Lockwood put into my heart and life. Here's on youth Sunday nights. Mom, Dad, I understand God's call on my life. At 15 years old, yeah, I got it. I'm headed somewhere. See, there's vision being instilled in every area of our church. And then you all of a sudden get a worship team that can get up here and lead you into the presence of the Lord. Why? Because all of them are in the presence of the Lord. See, they're living by a vision, so they're able to teach a vision. Our church has 40 to 50% of the church that is under 30 years of age. Now, I think about that. You better have a children's ministry that's teaching our children. You better have a youth ministry that's teaching our youth. See that? Well, y'all have a school? Yeah, we have a school. Praise God, it's awesome. Why? Because we're feeding as much as we can. We don't have a school that's all about trying to just get them saved. We have a school of a bunch of saved people trying to be disciples. See, we're discipling them. There's something different. Now, it's not a reform school. It's a school of a bunch of people who's already been reformed and heading towards the things of God. See, there's churches out there that don't understand vision, and they're visionless. And on Sunday morning, that they once had a vision, and they've got a few hundred seating capacity, and they got 50 or 60 people there. That is the norm in our society today for churches that seat a few hundred people, 50 or 60 people there. Now, it may sound like I'm putting them down. What I'm telling you is they've lost a vision. And they could turn it around like that and just come in and say, hey, let's get a vision for this. Let's get a vision for this. Most churches, average age is in the upper 60s. I didn't have everybody's age, but I'm guessing ours is a little lower than that. Why do I guess that? Because I see what's happening here on a weekly basis. Young people's lives being transformed with a vision. Church, here at Christian Ministries Church, an overall vision for the church itself, we see a God void in our society. How many would agree with that this morning? We see there's a God void. I mean, he's just like, there is representation that he was once there, but it's like he's been taken out. Go to our state capitals, just tour anywhere in Washington, D.C. You will see representation of God, but when you hear what's going on in Washington, you realize that there's a God void. There's a God void going on. And so when you understand that, this church understands that, a void of biblical morality is going on in our culture in every age group. That's why Christian Ministries is here. Because in every age group, we want to expand our reach. We want to do everything that is possible to infuse in our realm of society a God biblical morality for life. That's what we want to do. And it starts by getting that right here in the church. It starts right here. It starts. This church has a vision, lives on a vision, and is driven by a vision. There will be decisions that are made this year that always go back according to the vision. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. We're going somewhere. That's what we're doing. Each year we have a specific vision that we have that will allow us to address the God void in our society. Are y'all with me? We never want to be guilty of having a broad, far-reaching vision that there's not short-term 1-2-3s as to how we're going to reach the big vision of a godless society and bringing God into it. We want to do that. So we got to have 1-2-3s in how we're going to get there. And each year, we have a specific vision or theme for the year that takes us one step further to seeing God furthered in the life of our church, our families, our homes, our individual life, and impacting ultimately this world. 2016 was a giant year for Christian Ministries Church. I mean, it really was. Our vision, Jesus is Lord, all year long, we addressed the problem with making Jesus Savior and not Lord. That we addressed that all year. We talked about it and talked about it. See, no one wants to burn in hell for eternity. Everybody'd agree with that. I am talking today to a saved congregation. They know Jesus is Lord, and there's not a doubt when this life is over and you stand there, they're going to say, enter in. Why? Because I know Jesus. I accepted what Jesus did on my behalf. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. There's so much here for you. See, everybody here thinks that. We got a bunch of saved people here. This year, we talked about that. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Slip up that hand. Don't tell anybody, but slip up that hand and accept Jesus. And please know I'm not making fun of salvation. Slip up that hand and accept Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Why? Because I don't want anybody to know that I'm getting ready to die to myself and be raised a new life. I don't want anybody to know that there's getting ready to be a change in me. Okay, he made it so easy that I don't really have to die. I just have to get my ticket. And then they leave here with the only vision they have in their life is of heaven. And there's a lot of people that get saved and they only get saved so they can go to heaven. That's it. As I read my Bible 629 times, it refers in Scripture to Jesus as Lord. And the church quit communicating Jesus as Lord, and we only communicated him as Savior. We need saved. Okay, so he saves us from the fiery pits of hell, which nobody wants to go to, and says, okay, I'm going to go to heaven. That's me. Now I'm going to heaven. But we've quit teaching a death, a burial, and then the resurrection. They don't think there has to be a death or a burial, and they don't have to get rid of their own lordship. They don't have to make any. See, I accepted Jesus, so now I can still do whatever I want to do. Jesus is the one who saved me. What I want to hear is, I accepted Jesus. I died to that old man. He no longer has any power or control. I have totally submitted my life to the will and the purpose and the vision of Jesus Christ. And that old man's gone, and he don't make any decisions for me anymore. I'm following the way of the cross. I'm following Jesus and what he did for me. See, there's a difference in a born-again life or a life that just has a ticket to heaven. Jesus can't be Savior the way I read Scripture without him being Lord. Yeah, I don't see it. 2016, the church has led us to a new understanding. The Christian life is a new life, a different life, under a different Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. So, was 2016 not awesome? Great year. Great year. It's no longer about your feelings. Well, I just don't know how I feel about that. Well, I can tell you what Scripture says, so I can tell you how you should feel about it. Get over your own feelings. Your feelings are what's messing you up. Well, I just don't feel anybody cares. God cares. Submit your life to him. Let him take on that. So anyway, I'm just doing what God called me to do. I'm living by a vision. I'm living by, see, 2016, many understand that Jesus is Lord. And because I've made Jesus Lord, I'm under his authority, under his leadership. So 2017, we've got to figure out where we were at in 2016 because we don't want to jump off a cliff and go too far. We want to figure out, okay, what's the next step for our church? What's the next step? We just made Jesus Lord. And man, I tell you, people all over, his will, his plan, his purpose, making decisions for my life now, I'm ready to go. What I want to ask you is this. What happens when you make Jesus Lord? We just talked about it. What happens when you make Jesus Lord? You are made right with God. When you make Jesus Lord, it's no longer about you, it's about him. It's about him. It's about his righteousness because the Bible says that our righteousness is nothing but like filthy rags. We don't have anything that we can offer God without Jesus. See, Jesus is the one who was the offering. Jesus is the one who made it possible for us to have that relationship. So when you make Jesus Lord, all of a sudden it's Jesus' righteousness that then gives you access to the things of God. And with that, you are made right. You then have righteousness. Would everybody say, yeah, that makes sense. I get that. So I'm in right standing with God. Well, let me tell you another phrase that the Bible uses, and I find it 8 to 10 times depending on which translations you use. Another word for righteousness or right standing with God is clean hands. Clean hands. The Bible talks about clean hands. 2 Samuel, Job, in fact, turn to Job with me. Psalms, James, different times it talks about, and this year we'll be talking more about clean hands and the importance of clean hands. The way you get them is the blood of Christ. Now, nothing you have done that made you clean. Do you remember when you were young, your mama saying before dinner, go wash your hands? Why? Because she wanted you to clean your hands. At an earlier age, which some of you may not remember, you didn't wash your own hands, mama did. Come here, let me make sure your hands are clean. I actually remember mama putting soap on our hands as boys and taking our hands and rubbing them together. And can I not do that myself? Not to the level that it needs done. And I thought, what an illustration. You can't clean your hands enough to get right with God. You need God come. Boy, there's going to be some good sermons in 2017. I can't get ahead of myself. Nothing you have done made you clean. It's all of what Jesus did. So there's only one direction after we understand 2016 and making Jesus Lord. Job 17. Job 17 is where we find our scripture for this year. 17 verse 9 will be our scripture for 2017. It says, the righteous keep moving forward, And those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Church, our theme for 2017 is stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. Our shirts say stronger and stronger. I hope that's on the back of mine. I didn't look. Stronger and stronger. For members of Christian Ministries Church, those that are here on a regular basis, those that feed from here regularly, 2017 will be one of the most life-changing years of your entire life. I promise you it will. I know, I'm just confident. Stronger and stronger marriages. Stronger and stronger relationships with our kids. Stronger and stronger relationships in general. Children in the home, teens in the home, growing stronger and stronger. Prayer life, stronger and stronger. See, in all areas, understanding of the word, stronger and stronger. Our relationship with the Lord, stronger and stronger. That's what we're going to be talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. A real key verse for us this year to go along with our vision. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. You weren't ready for anything stronger. Listen, getting saved gives you access to strength. But we have a responsibility to take that, access it, and get stronger and stronger. Not just wait for heaven. There's a difference. There's a difference. After making Jesus Lord, we get stronger and stronger. You know, 2016 was a great year. My first grandchild was born. And you know, she's just, oh man, it's not even words. But you know, she kind of came with a couple problems. She wears a diaper. Now, not anybody's feeling sorry for me because you go, well, Pastor, of course she wears a diaper. That's not weird at all. You're right. It's not weird because of her age. I got to give credit where credit's due. Tim Stowe this week, as I was talking to him, made a great comment to me. He said, you know, here's where we're at as the church. And I profound. We understand a baby wearing diapers. But what we've got in the Christian world is we've got a bunch of 40-year-old Christians wearing diapers. What do you call a 40-year-old Christian wearing a diaper? A weirdo. But that's exactly right, Tim. That's exactly where we find Christians across this country. We got a bunch of weirdos. Well, Pastor, I'm talking symbolically if you're going to hear what I'm saying. Things are coming out of them that they ought to be wearing a diaper. They don't understand strength training. They don't understand the stronger and stronger mentality. And as far as Christian Ministries Church, if we're going to have a vision this year, we got to get out of the diaper stage. See, there's more available. There's more. Getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I mean, how many Christians in our society look like they're walking around in a diaper? They do. They're weird. I hear them say they're a Christian, and then the next thing that comes out of their mouth, I think, how did you say that? Well, I hear what comes out of my granddaughter's mouth, and I think she's got a problem. No, it's okay because of her age. But when she's 40 and talking the way she does, when she's 40 and still wearing a diaper, we got a problem. We got a problem. And what I want you to know is, there are things God has for us. Come on now. There are things God has for us, and we're not strong enough to receive, to grasp, and to understand. I bought her a gun before she was born. And it frustrates the fire out of me that she can't shoot it. I mean, I had one of the greatest hunting years of my life, and she could have been right there beside me the whole time. Nope, she wasn't strong enough. She can't climb the ladder. She can't even walk. She can't talk. She can't be quiet. She makes noise. She screams when you're not supposed to. There's so many things about her that she just, I'm waiting for her to get stronger and stronger. Here's the problem. We've got a bunch of people giving their heart and life to Jesus as Savior. And even some that say, okay, I'm going to make him Lord, but we don't get stronger and stronger. And this year, Christian Ministry Church, we're going to get strong and we're going to be able to handle some things. See, consequently, we have people that aren't strong enough to get all that God has for us. See, God has a whole bunch and we have access to it, but we're not strong enough to handle it. We have access to the things of the Spirit, but well, we're not strong enough in our prayer life to handle it. We got access to the healing, but we're not strong enough in our faith to believe it's ours. We come on, stronger and stronger. Our homes, our finances, our kids, our health, our teenagers, our relationships with each other and with the Lord. And as we get stronger and stronger, Church Christian Ministries Church in 2017 is going to see breakthroughs happening in areas that we've struggled with for years, but we're going to get stronger in that area. We're going to be able to handle the things of God, and things are going to be different. Are you ready for 2017? Stronger and stronger.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.